TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
Jordan Bell said, not another one. And Jordan Bell will ride in. Oh, he threw it off the backboard and had a little fun. Hello. And the bench likes it.
He had a surprise.
His teammates like it.
It is Raised by Wolves. Danny Cunningham and Manny Hill taking you up until 2 o'clock here on Score North. That highlight was of Jordan Bell, the newest member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, as he signed or agreed to, a one-year contract with the Timberwolves yesterday. This team's going to look very different come October when the basketballs start bouncing again inside Mayo Clinic Square during training camp, when they start playing preseason games at Target Center. This team's going to look very different than what it did at the end of this year. Anthony Tolliver, gone. Derrick Rose, already gone. Taj Gibson, already gone. Luol Deng, we don't know what's going to happen. Tyus Jones, we still don't know what's going to happen. So this team is going to look very different than they did when they wrapped up the regular season April 10th in Denver. They're going to be a different looking team. I don't know what the expectations are. I don't see this team right now as a playoff team.
Right.
But it's tough for me to gauge just how good they could potentially be.
Yeah, and I think it'll depend on injuries, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to depend on how healthy are they going to be going into next year. Because this is a team that seems like right now they could win somewhere between 35 and 40 games maybe next year.
I think
year.
That's even a little high.
But it's like if they start dealing with some injuries like they dealt with last year, then we could be looking at, 25 to 30 wins maximum, I think, going into next year. But I think, this not getting D'Angelo Russell thing, I think, really puts a damper on whatever high hopes that we may have had going into next year and the next couple of years. Now, that could change. They could make some moves, during the summer to try and bolster the roster. But, man, this D'Angelo Russell thing is still kind of stinging a little bit to me.
And that all leads me to this place, because when Gersan Rosas got the job, he did talk about how player development's a very important thing. And the Wolves have an opportunity here to really prove that they are going to be excellent in player development, because if you can turn Andrew Wiggins into something better than he is, he's not going to be a star. He's not going to be what you expect out of a number one overall draft pick. But if you can turn him into something better than he is, and if you can improve a lot of these guys that are already on the roster, I still don't think it's necessarily a playoff team in an absolutely loaded Western Conference, but I think that that would be a great mark for this franchise if they can get better internally this season.
Yeah, they have to develop guys. You have to try and get something out of Wiggins. Josh Okogie, I want to see his game develop a little bit more. We know what he can do defensively. Can he develop a shot, a more consistent shot? He's not a good shooter right now, and they still need three-point shooting right now. And if they can find that from within and have some guys develop that a little bit more, that can be beneficial too. But, depending on who's going to be back, is Tyus Jones going to be back? If he is, we need to see a little bit more development out of him as well. And, it goes back to the health thing too. I mean, they need, Robert Covington was a huge loss for them. He was great for them until he had the situation with his knee before New Year's Eve last year. Mm-hmm. So getting him back, and hopefully that he's, hopefully he's healthy and bouncing back fully from that injury, that's going to be a big part of, whatever success they have next year too.
And I am actually really excited for Summer League. Some of it started last night with the Utah Summer League and the California Classic, where the Wolves aren't involved in that. They're having like a little mini camp over at Mayo Clinic Square right now with a lot of their guys from the Summer League roster. But the Wolves are sending Josh Okogie to Vegas to play in Summer League. Kata Bates-Diop is playing in Summer League. Jared Terrell, who was on a two-way deal here last year, playing in Summer League. Obviously, Jalen Noel, the second-round draft pick, already on the Summer League roster, he'll be playing. Jarrett Culver will likely be playing in Summer League once the trade actually is official, because as of right now, he's not a member of the Timberwolves until July 6th, which
ridiculous.
Is really dumb. But
really stupid.
That's a stupid NBA rule. I'm excited to see what they look like. I'm excited to see what improvements a guy like Okogie has already made. And yes, I realize that the caliber of competition between the end of the regular season last year against Denver and taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers night one of Summer League is vast. There is a ginormous gap in that. But I'm excited to see what Josh Okogie looks like. I'm excited to see what Kata Bates-Diop looks like after having parts of an offseason under their belts already.
Yeah, I think in the case of Kata, too, it'll be interesting to see how what he does in Summer League and this offseason to sort of give us a better sense of what type of player he can be and if he can be a significant contributor. Because he got some run at the end of this past season. He got some minutes. Some significant minutes, big time, you know, big playing time. But I'm curious to see how his game sort of grows and develops, and if he can actually turn into a piece for this team. Because with second round picks, you just never really know. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot. You're sort of just throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks. And if you get something out of that guy, great. But you know, a lot of times those guys, they just end up being end of the bench type of guys. And I think now this summer is going to be an opportunity for Kata to really show what kind of player he can be.
And as it stands right now, he's going to be someone that's in the rotation because they don't have the bodies and they still have their mid-level exception left. We don't know what they're going to use it on. They signed Jordan Bell to a minimum contract or agreed to him a minimum contract. Can't sign it until the 6th yesterday. So we really don't know what this roster is going to fully look like, but there aren't exactly a lot of options left.
Yeah. What is out there to even use the mid-level on right
DeMarcus
now.
Cousins, which that's not a fit here. Like, it's just not. Maybe they take a flyer on a guy like that because I think
you play him, though?
Exactly. And he's going to want to put up numbers. He's going to want to prove that he deserves a big payday next summer. And that's, you have Karl-Anthony Towns. Boogie, I wouldn't understand that.
Yeah, Boogie needs to go somewhere where he's going to play a lot and probably be featured, be a primary feature in the offense, because he's trying to get another big payday. He's trying to show and prove that he can at least go back to being close to the player he was before that Achilles injury.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's really going to be an opportunity for him to do that here, even though they could, I guess, offer him the mid-level, but that's not,
why
that's
would
not going to be in, that's not no. going to be in his best interest. I don't think
it doesn't make sense. I think that the, he's the biggest name out there, but it doesn't make sense for him here. I don't know who else there is to even look at.
Is there a shooter out there?
Shooters are gobbled up as quickly as possible, Manny. I mean, I would have loved to have seen this team go after Seth Curry, Steph's younger brother. He signed a 4-year, $32 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks, which is a great deal for him. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I thought he would have been a terrific fit here. I don't know if the Wolves had interest in him, and we will talk to Darren Wolfson at 1:40 today and get the latest scoop from him on what the latest is with the Wolves. But there aren't many options, and I think that we're going to see player development be such a big deal for this team, and it's going to have to be if they're going to find their way into a competitive system. We saw what Brooklyn did this offseason in adding Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and that's not something that's going to happen in Minnesota. They're never going to be able to add two max slot guys. But one of the reasons they were able to do it is something that's intriguing to me, and that's because they built a culture. Not because they had cap space, yes, that was essential to them being able to do it, but they built a culture in an environment that was really attractive to a guy like Kyrie Irving and a guy like Kevin Durant. And I would like to see the Wolves build something like that. And bringing over Pablo Prigioni, who was a player development guy in Brooklyn, will be coaching the summer league team for the Wolves. That's something that really interests me, to see how these guys can build a new culture, in a way, from the ground up in Minnesota.
And how much of that, too, plays into trying to continue to boost Karl-Anthony Towns? I mean, to continue to feature him as your guy, as your franchise player, so that you can look around in the league a couple of years down the road and other players in the league are going to look at Karl-Anthony Towns and see how good he is and say, okay, yeah, I want to play with that guy. I like the culture that they have built there over the last couple of years. That seems like a good place that I can go and have some success.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to have. You want your organization to be the model organization, even if you aren't winning, because that's what Brooklyn turned into. They had some really, really bad teams over the past couple of years. They were a franchise that was essentially left for dead after that trade with Boston, because that was one of the dumbest moves that was ever made in the history of basketball. But they rebounded better than anyone could have thought. And the Wolves are in a far better position right now than the Brooklyn Nets ever were. But the Nets built a culture that was able to put them over the top. And that's something that the Wolves really need to do. And I think they are headed in the right direction in that sense.
What do you think Jordan Bell brings to the table?
I think Bell is a incredibly low-risk signing. Like, if it doesn't work out, you spent the minimum on him. It's not a big deal. I think that he can be serviceable. I don't think he's going to be a very good player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's going to get minutes. He's going to help out. I think that he can play alongside Karl Anthony Towns. He did a lot of really good things in Golden State. I question his basketball IQ. I don't know that he does the right thing on the court all the time. It looks like when you watch him, and maybe it's amplified because a lot of this happens on a big stage when you're playing for titles, which he did for the first 2 years of his career in Golden State. Mm-hmm. It seems like he forgets to do a lot of little things from time to time. And that's something that's not good when you're a player that is, I don't want to say a fringe NBA player, but he was a second round pick. It's not as if he was ever going to be a star. I think that he can be serviceable for the Wolves. I think it's a good low-risk signing, like I said, and he's something that if you get more value out of him than you pay him, it's a huge win. And it's another test case for the player development side of things. You've got a lot of guys where that is the case here. Jordan Bell has a lot of game left to be developed inside of him. And if the Wolves find that, that's a huge win for them. It's another test case for them.
Is there concern, though, because he seemed like he had a better rookie year than he did this past season? He kind of fell off a little bit and got to the point where he really wasn't playing much. He wasn't really a part of their postseason rotation at all in Golden State. Is there any concern over that sort of, I guess, for lack of a better term, regression from his rookie year?
I do think that there is cause for a little concern. His playing time went down, and you have to think at least a little bit of that can be attributed to a guy that we've already talked to so far today on Raised by Wolves, and that's DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Because DeMarcus Cousins signed Golden State, whose playing time did that sap a lot of? It took Jordan a lot Bell. Of playing time away from their bigs. So Jordan Bell played a lot earlier in the season, but then once DeMarcus Cousins came back, his playing time was really cut into, and that does matter. I think that it may have stunted his development. And Kevon Looney was really good for the Warriors this year. Jordan Bell just didn't necessarily have a place on the court or a set role. And the way Golden State would operate with their bigs, it was more matchup based. And in the playoffs against Toronto, he couldn't stick on the floor because he just did not match up well against Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol and Pascal Siakam and the big guys that they have there.
All right. What is this team going to do with Tyus Jones? And we can talk to Doogie about this too at 140, but that's a mystery.
I think this is probably best saved for Doogie. I think he's got a little bit of information on this that we don't quite have right now. Mm-hmm. So I think that that'll be Must Listen Radio at 140. I definitely think you'll want to tune in to hear what Doogie has to say on Tyus Jones, whether or not he'll be back with the Wolves. But that's interesting because they do need guards. They've already lost Derrick Rose. It's hard to imagine Jared Bayless coming back.
I can't see that at all.
Jeff Teague will be here. He'll be part of the picture. I can't fathom them really trading him right now. And he is in the building now. He's helping out with the summer league workouts. He's helping out guys that are on this mini camp roster right now. And he's helping out the coaches. He's trying to learn. He's trying to be a good teammate. He was there earlier today. That's a positive sign. Now, I don't know if that's because Jeff wants to learn, because Jeff's in a contract year. I don't know what that is, but it's a good thing. It's absolutely a positive for the Wolves that he's there right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's this D'Angelo Russell thing, just not getting him has, I don't know, it's sort of changed things for me. And I wonder from a fan's perspective too, you know, how people feel about this team now going into this year, because we've talked about it's kind of a different tone now. It's the focus is going to be more on, you know, player development and things like that. But
yeah,
you know, I'd be curious to know what people think about just not getting D'Angelo Russell and what their expectations are now for this season coming up.
Yeah, I don't know what realistic expectations are, because I don't think that they're playoffs, and I don't think that this is a team that's in position to tank. They're not going to be like the New York Knicks last year, and we can make fun of them next segment if we want, but they're not going to be a 17-win team. They've got too much talent on the roster to be that, but I also can't put them in the top 8 in the Western Conference, because this conference is just absolutely loaded with talent.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. And there is found something on Andrew Wiggins on NBA TV. Sam Mitchell and Rex Chapman and Steve Ashburner, I think it was, had a pretty interesting conversation about Andrew Wiggins and how, you know, that whole situation and what the Wolves are could potentially do with him. And I've got some sound on that. So we should take a break and maybe get into that a little bit.
All right, let's do that. It's Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill. You can find us on Score North 1500 AM, the all-new Score North mobile app, which you can get on Apple or Android. If you want to jump in on the conversation, 651-646-8255, diving into Andrew Wiggins and what his future could be next here on Score North.
Guitar Hero, Selfie Sticks, Fidget Spinners, the Ice Bucket Challenge. Nah. This is something new. Welcome to the all-new Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
First of all, his talent is off the charts. Second, you're talking about a good young man. Andrew Wiggins is a good young man. Never was a problem in the locker room. A fantastic teammate. And for the days that you really needed to get him going, all I had to do, instead of yelling and screaming at him in front of 20,000 people, you call him in your office, you tell him what he's not doing, you show it to him on film, and you can have that tough conversation with him one-on-one. But Andrew Wiggins is like a lot of players that we've all been around and coached. You can't coach everybody the same. You can't throw out a blanket and coach everybody the same. You have to coach these players today as individuals. And with him, if he goes to the right situation with the right coach that's going to push him the right way and put him at the right position, this kid talent is untapped, and people don't understand about this kid. This kid can flat out play.
I wonder who Sam Mitchell was talking about there.
There's Sam Mitchell talking about Andrew Wiggins. That's from NBA TV, correct, Manny?
Yes, that's correct.
Andrew Wiggins has always obviously been an enigma since he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
There have been questions about his desire, questions about his play on the floor, his shot selection, all of that. Some of those are very justified. I mean, he takes a lot of bad shots. Like that's, that's a very justified criticism. I think that, and we talked about Jordan Bell potentially being a test case for this player development group here in Minnesota. Andrew Wiggins is the test
the biggest,
case. It's the biggest, biggest one in the league, I think.
Yeah.
If you can find that untapped talent that Sam Mitchell's talking about on NBA TV, maybe you get somewhere. I still don't think you're a playoff team, but you get somewhere. And then the future gets brighter, and then maybe things become, maybe you become that hot team next summer. But I think that that's what we're looking at.
They talked a little bit more about the Jimmy Butler situation and how that may have affected Andrew, and Sam had some comments on that too.
People have known about his talent, though. He got drafted on his talent.
Yeah.
He's been brought along on his talent. It's all about the motor at this point. He just needs to respond and push back against this sort of criticism, and he hasn't done it. What'd they do? They brought in an Alpha Dog teammate in Jimmy Butler 2 years ago who chews the scenery in locker rooms.
But I'm going to say
he
this.
He went into a shell.
And I like Jimmy, but you go back to Andrew Wiggins' second year in the league when the Minnesota Timberwolves played the Chicago Bulls every time. Go pull up those two games, those stats, and look what Andrew Wiggins did against Jimmy Butler. So you're Andrew Wiggins, and you're sitting there saying, I know you respect Jimmy Butler, but you're saying you don't have no championship rings. And when we played each other head-to-head, I went at you and outplayed you, and then we beat you both times. You got to understand, players respect rings. They don't respect that other stuff. When you walk through that door and you want to be the alpha guy, not only if you don't have any rings, you better, when we play head-to-head, you better have dominated me, right? Put me in my place. Andrew Wiggins had called at the time when Jimmy Butler walked in the room because they had had success against Jimmy Butler teams. They didn't view Jimmy Butler like a lot of people on the outside viewed him.
So even though he Andrew's never been an all-star, even though he had never been to the playoffs, he was still going to feel superior.
You're telling me to take a step back to a guy that not only did we beat him, I outplayed him both times. Now think about that. And you're talking about today's generation. You not only did you not beat my team, I outplayed you. That's what you got to think about. And that's what people don't understand, how these players think today.
That is an interesting point, is that Jimmy, it's not like Jimmy Butler came into Minnesota with some overwhelming championship experience.
Right.
That is interesting. And I do think that Sam raises a good point there. I think that they'll be better off. This team will be better off now having a bit of a fresh start. I know Ryan Saunders was around in an assistant role for all of this, so it's not entirely fresh because Ryan is a familiar face. And I do think that that's a good thing for them as well. But I do think that having a fresh start, not having to worry about that in the locker room, doing all of those things where you can kind of go back to who you were when you were Andrew Wiggins, maybe on the right path, maybe you still weren't going to fulfill what everyone thought you could be, but you were on the right path. Maybe that's a blessing for him. Maybe that's something that it's going to take to get it turned around, Manny.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what Sam is saying, and I think there's definitely something there with what he was talking about in regards to Jimmy, but it just seems like Danny, for the last 5 years with Andrew Wiggins, it just seems like there's just been excuse after excuse after excuse as to why he's been underwhelming, you know, overall as a player. And he's obviously shown flashes, and he's given people reason to be excited, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, all of these changes that have happened, and I understand some players, they can handle those changes better or differently than other players do.
Sure.
But eventually, like, you gotta do it, like, yourself. You know what I mean? And you can't just keep blaming the coaching change, or you can't blame the system all the time, and you can't just keep blaming the different teammates that you're having. I mean, Andrew Wiggins has been the one constant on this team for the last 5 years. While a lot of other things around him have been inconsistent, he's been, you know, the 19-foot long twos, that's been a consistent part of his game since he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been a huge showing on his side to improve upon that, to improve on not taking those bad shots all the time. Like, at some point, he's got to be the one to do it. You can't just keep blaming everybody else. And I think there is something to be said for what Sam is saying there in regards to Jimmy Butler, but still at the end of the day, like, that's not an excuse for Andrew Wiggins being underwhelming as a player, despite the fact that he's making a lot of money on this huge contract.
You're right. It's not an excuse. It's something that needs to change. That's why I'm really interested in this player development thing.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what they can get out of Andrew Wiggins, because if they can, it changes the outlook of this team. As things stand right now, there are only two teams in the Western Conference, I think, that I can say and believe that when I say the Timberwolves are better than them, it's true. And that's Phoenix and that's Memphis. There's no one else I can look at in this conference and say, you know what, the Wolves are absolutely a better team than them.
That's amazing to think about. That's amazing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 2 days removed from feeling pretty good about this team getting D'Angelo Russell and thinking, okay, maybe they could maybe sneak into the playoffs next year.
I don't know where I would have put them had they landed D'Angelo Russell. I don't know who I would have said they were better than them, because this conference is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just looking at the talent top to bottom, obviously Golden State's still going to be around.
Yep.
I'm starting to have my doubts on whether or not they'll make the playoffs.
Look at the seven teams in the Western Conference that didn't make the playoffs. The six teams besides the Wolves.
Yes.
Sacramento
could make the playoffs next year.
The Lakers will be in the playoffs. I mean, they're going to be, they got two of the top five players on the planet. They
may have three. Kawhi.
They might add Kawhi Leonard. New Orleans.
I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, but I think that they're going to be a lot closer than people realize.
They're going to be a really, really, really solid team. Dallas is getting Kristaps. You get a healthy Kristaps Porzingis. You got the reigning rookie of the year, Luka Doncic, who you figure is going to be even better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to be pretty good. Yeah, it's Phoenix and Memphis. I mean, Memphis is not trying to win right now, I don't think.
No, Memphis is doing the smart rebuild right now, like getting a first-round draft pick to take on Andre Iguodala's salary, who they probably will cut at some point. They're probably going to buy him out. Maybe it waits until the season, maybe not, but he's not going to be in Memphis forever. But they're doing the very smart rebuild, and they got a great first-round pick for that. It is very, very lightly protected, and it's not until 2024. The Warriors could be terrible by then, and Memphis could get this number two overall pick.
Which kind of leads me to my next question, though, too. So you look at the eight teams that made the playoffs in the West. You figure the Lakers are going to jump into that picture.
Who falls out? You can't.
Do the Clippers fall out?
What if they get Kawhi?
If they get Kawhi, yeah, that's different. But
it's hard for me to pick against the Spurs, especially if DeJounte Murray's coming back and going to be healthy and what they're going to look like. And they've made the playoffs basically ever since I've been alive.
What about Oklahoma City?
They've got Paul George and Russell Westbrook. I do really like the addition that they made in signing Alec Burks.
Yeah.
I think that that's a great pickup for them. That's one of my sneaky favorite pickups so far this offseason.
Yeah, I just...
But, like, Utah's going to be the top three seed.
Utah's
going to
be fantastic.
They're going to be a top three seed in the
Portland
West this year.
Will still be good.
Yes, I like Portland. I have talked myself into the Hassan Whiteside move, mm-hmm. and I like Portland's offseason a lot because I really do like Anthony Tolliver. I think that that's a steal of a signing for them, getting him at the veterans minimum. You don't know what the outlook on Yusef Nurkic is going to be in terms of coming back from that broken leg that he suffered in March, I believe it was. So yeah. You don't know when he'll be able to play again. Hassan Whiteside could look really good alongside Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. He could look really, really good for Portland. They're going to be very good, but they could be around a 55 to 58 win team again.
Denver will still obviously be very good, and Golden State's not going to have.
I have my questions about Golden State.
As far as making the playoffs?
Might be close. Because here's my thing.
Wow.
They're not going to have Klay until at least February, I would assume, right?
And where are they at?
Where are they at?
When they get them back.
And their margin for error is incredibly thin. It is razor thin. It's not like Steph Curry's been the most durable guy in the world. Mm-hmm. Say he gets hurt and misses 10 games.
What if Draymond misses time?
They've got no margin for error. They're hard capped. They're only going to have 13 guys on their roster all season long. One of them's going to be Klay Thompson, who won't play until February. I'm not saying they're going to miss the playoffs, but I wouldn't be stunned if they did. It wouldn't be the most surprising thing of the season if Golden State, because of everything that's gone on, because especially if Steph gets hurt. Like, it's happened plenty of times before. He twists an ankle, he misses a week, they lose three games. That could be the difference in the Western Conference with how tight things could be. I don't see them as a 50-win team as constructed because of the injuries. I don't see it happening.
And then you have to factor in, how is the Steph D'Angelo Russell backcourt going to... I mean, it's a lot of talent.
I don't think it's a great basketball fit.
But how is that chemistry between those two guys sharing the same backcourt? How is that going to work?
I don't think the Warriors needed another guard that's high usage pick and roll initiator. I don't think that they needed that. And that's what D'Angelo Russell is. He ran more pick and rolls last year individually on Brooklyn than the Warriors did as an entire team. I just don't know that his style is going to mesh with them.
Yeah, because he's very much a clash from Klay.
Yes.
I mean, because Klay was so good that he can impact the game. He doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time to be an impact player. He can play off the ball as well as anybody in the league. Maybe what is it that you said about him? He's the best player in the NBA who can't dribble?
Yes, he is the best NBA player in terms of wings. I mean, some big guys also can't dribble. But he is the best player in the league, in my opinion, that just can't dribble really well. He does not take anyone off the bounce for the most part. Terrific cutter, terrific shooter. Obviously, I mean, he's a historic shooter. Mm-hmm. Great defender. He's just not a very good ball handler, and that's okay. Another sneaky thing about them is they're not going to be good defensively. Steph Curry,
that backcourt especially.
D'Angelo Russell is not a good defender. Draymond Green is one of the best defenders in the world, but he can't bring it every night at this age. Like, he just can't do that 82 times a season. It's not fathomable for him to do that.
And you don't have Kevin Durant's defense anymore. You don't have Andre Iguodala's impact on that end of the
Sean
floor.
Sean Livingston's going to be gone.
Sean Livingston's gone. Yeah. I'm just still trying to wrap my head around that idea, though, that they could maybe miss the playoffs, or at least it would be...
I'm not saying they're going to, but if one thing goes wrong, I already think they're sitting at a 6th seed right now. If one thing goes wrong during the season for them, they could finish 9th. I'm not expecting it. I don't think it's likely, but it wouldn't stun me if it happened.
It's amazing to think about, man.
But tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
What I'm saying, like, that's
you're right.
Steph Curry has been injured plenty of times before. If he misses a week or 2 weeks, which is it's probably relatively likely he's going to miss some portion of time due to injury, I wouldn't be stunned if they're not in the playoffs. And that could be the best thing for them. That could set them up to try and win another title in the summer of 2021. Like, that could be the best thing for them, truthfully.
What if they miss the playoffs and end up with like a top 4 pick in the lottery?
That would be unbelievable. I would be
very, very annoyed if that happened.
I don't think you're alone. Another thing, top of the Western Conference, what's Michael Porter Jr. going to look like for the Denver Nuggets?
Yeah, we haven't seen him at all.
He was a lottery pick last year, sat out the season. He could totally change how good that team is. If he is what everyone thought he was going to be when he was in college at Missouri before he got hurt, Everyone presumed he was going to be a top three pick in last year's NBA draft. That team could get loads better.
Could they get to the finals?
Yeah. You could name five teams in the West, and if you told me they're playing in the finals, I wouldn't be stunned.
Denver, Utah, the Lakers, obviously. The Clippers, if they get Kawhi.
Houston. Portland. I wouldn't be stunned if any of these teams win the Western Conference. Would not be surprised one bit.
Man. And then tying this back to the Wolves, it actually really highlights how much work they have to do.
How far away they are. Yep, you're exactly right. And that's why when I say I don't know that this team's going to win 35 games, you have to play all these teams three or four times. And it's going to be tough to get wins.
And you rethink about if they would have gotten D'Angelo Russell, that obviously would have increased their chances, but that still doesn't, I don't think that still would have guaranteed them to make the playoffs. When you look at, when you really break down and look at the rest of the conference, it's going to be a meat grinder.
So you play every team in your division four times. It's the only thing divisions really count for in the NBA. The Wolves are in the best division in basketball. So that means they've got 16 games against Denver, Portland, Utah, OKC. That's a murderer's row.
Man.
They're going to be four teams from their division that make the playoffs. The other four teams in their division will make the playoffs. That's how good it is.
Man. Some work to be done.
Yes, lots of work to be done. Lots of off-season still left. There are plenty of guys still available. Don't know who the Wolves have been talking to, but we're going to do our very best to find out next when Darren Wolfson of Score North will sit down with us, and we're going to get the latest in the scoop from Doogie.
You're listening to the all-new Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
Time for the Score North download. It's 1:40 here on AM 1500 and Score North and the Score North mobile app. Manny here. Reminder, Twins taking on the Oakland A's tonight at the Coliseum in Oakland. Jake Odorizzi going to be on the mound for Minnesota tonight. The Twins are 53-30. And a reminder as well, coming up at 6 o'clock here on Score North, the Royce on Baseball podcast. It's the TK doubleheader where Pat and I will talk with Tim Kirchen of ESPN and former Twins manager Tom Kelly. That's coming up at 6 o'clock on Score North, the Score North mobile app, and of course, scorenorth.com. Now back to Raised by Wolves. We got Darren Doogie Wolfson in the building.
Thank you, Manny. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill with you here, Raised by Wolves, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Joined now by Doogie Wolfson. It's been an eventful couple of days in the NBA, hasn't it?
It has been fun, and I'll just carry what we were talking about off-air onto the airwaves. Mm-hmm. That I'm not quite sure the Wolves have gotten any better the last few days, yet so many other teams in the West have gotten better. An NBA official, pretty high-ranking NBA official, texted me today opining that I may be covering the worst team in the NBA. That's for the 2019-2020 season. That was my response, that I think Memphis is worse. You think Charlotte, and you can certainly make a case Charlotte is worse. Phoenix, but the point is,
you can say Phoenix, too.
I might take Phoenix if you're arguing with me. I think Monty Williams is that good of a coach.
Okay.
I do. Yeah, so I might take Phoenix right now. Now, there's still plenty of time to make changes, to change the roster. But today, I actually think the Suns win more games than the Wolves.
Oof. Wow.
I don't know if I'm willing to go there, but we were talking about the playoff picture that lies ahead in the Western Conference, and it's brutal. I think that I'm not of the opinion that the Suns are better right now. I think that there are two teams in the West you can say the Wolves are better than, it's Memphis and Phoenix, and that's it.
Okay, so that's it. And I think there's legitimately six teams that will go into next season. And Manny, tell me if you disagree, but six teams. We were talking about this off air. Mm-hmm. Six teams heading into next season, whether true or not, that internally, they will truly believe that they are going to the finals, that they will win the West. The Lakers, whether they get Kawhi or not. I know there's a lot of momentum in that regard, right? That I don't think a lot of us will be surprised.
Even if they don't get him, you still have two of the top five players on the planet.
Correct. So regardless, but if they get Kawhi, certainly. But if no Kawhi, still.
Yep.
OKC.
Sure.
Even though there's been some playoff hiccups, but they still have two of the 15 best players on the planet. The Rockets.
Yeah.
Then the three teams in the Northwest Division, the Wolves Division, Portland, Utah, and Denver. All six of those teams will head into the season saying, we are winning the West. We have a chance to win a championship.
And you didn't even mention Golden State.
I know. And they still have three All-Stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Russell, Green, Curry. So, sure. And I'm sure there's an internal cockiness, right? After you win the West, what is it now, five consecutive years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's an internal cockiness, even with Klay Thompson out for presumably the whole season, losing Durant. I think as long as you have three All-Stars, even though I don't think D'Angelo Russell is a fit, I don't see him there long-term. We know he'll be there for at least a portion of next season, if not all of next season. I just do think you're right, internally, that they will. So you know what? You just convinced me. It's seven. I think it's seven teams.
But even like Danny said last segment, their margin for error is like really, really, really thin. Because if Steph gets hurt, they're not going to have Klay till what, February or March? I mean, if Steph gets hurt, and Steph has been prone to get banged up a little bit during the season and miss a handful of games here and there, if he misses time and it's D'Angelo Russell and Draymond Green trying to carry this ship, I mean, what are they going to look like when Klay gets back? I think that's going to be the big question.
Well, I don't know how three of those guys, those three guys, Russell, Thompson, Curry, coexist. Who's guarding point guards? Heck, who is Russell guarding in general?
I brought this up to Danny. It reminds me of...
I don't get the fit when Klay is healthy.
I brought this up to Danny. It reminds me of, with D'Angelo Russell going into that picture now, it reminds me of when it was Steph and Monte Ellis. It was that same sort of... Now, I think D'Angelo is better than what Monte Ellis was at that time, but it was that same sort of like, okay, there's talent there, but like, who's gonna dominate the ball? You know, who's gonna defend who? It's kind of clunky. We know these guys are both good, but how's it really gonna work?
The Russell dialogue isn't going to slow down. It isn't. I mean, I just saw Zach Lowe of ESPN. Did you see this, Danny?
I did not.
Posted a story, I think, even this afternoon. So within the last hour or so. And he's suggesting, he's not saying that, okay, you know, predicting that this absolutely is going to happen December 15th when Russell is trade eligible, but just to keep an eye on the Wolves moving Robert Covington and maybe some other pieces for D'Angelo Russell. That it makes too much sense eventually, whether it's December, whether it's next summer, that at some point, because that's Kat's guy and it's all about satisfying Kat, that at some point, the Wolves are going to call the Warriors trying to acquire D'Angelo Russell.
So what do you know happened in that recruitment process with D'Angelo Russell? How did this all come down?
I'm still trying to piece together every single detail. I'd be lying to you, Danny, if I told you I have every single detail.
Sure.
There are some people with the Wolves suggesting that they never got the complete I'm all in with you.
Mm-hmm.
That they talked, they gathered, but that D'Angelo never said fully, I'm in. Minnesota is the place I want to be. But it was earlier on Sunday that Mark Stein of the New York Times, formerly of ESPN, put something out on Twitter, hearing that Russell's preferred destination was, in fact, Minnesota.
Correct.
I reached out to somebody close to D'Angelo. I said, hey, is Mark Stein spot on? This individual said, yes.
That's a tough blow.
So are the Wolves now, man, is it damage control? Much like I think there was some damage control being done right after the draft when they moved up but didn't get their guy.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started to leak. Hey, guess what? Jarrett Culver was in our first tier.
Same tier, yeah.
Same tier as Darius Garland. But let's be frank. Darius Garland was the target on draft night.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the aggressiveness. I wouldn't punt on Rosas like a lot of people on Twitter have. Give the man a chance.
He's got a hole to dig out of.
The number one goal was not accomplished on draft night.
Mm-hmm.
And now are you doing some damage control saying, well, Russell never fully told us that he wanted to be here? Or was it that they just never had trades lined up? And the reason I say that is I won't suggest that I have a contact in every single front office.
Mm-hmm.
But I have contacts in three front offices that all made logical sense for Jeff Teague. In fact, one of those three paid good money for a point guard. And I trust those individuals I've known for multiple years. Could they be lying to me? Sure, right? They absolutely could. But I trust them in this instance. I said, hey, did the Wolves shop Jeff Teague to you? The answer from all three front offices was no.
That's really interesting.
Mm.
That's really interesting that his name wasn't one that was brought up. And
I'm sure it was brought up somewhere along the way. But with these three logical landing spots, I was told no. So Could the Wolves just not make the moves necessary?
That's what I wanted to ask.
But is it convenient to tell people to leak? Yeah, well, see, Russell just, he merely chose Golden State. We tried, but hey, he never gave us the thumbs up. And so we couldn't then execute the trades we allegedly had lined up. I'm just saying, I need more info to really tell you that 100% the Wolves had trades lined up to create the cap space to sign D'Angelo Russell or to work out a sign and trade.
I'm curious if part of this is paying for the sins of the previous regime where the Wolves as constructed now are in a pretty deep hole in part because of what happened with the people
absolutely.
Used to be in charge.
Yes.
I'm curious if that plays into them not getting D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's no doubt, right? I mean, I just don't think Andrew Wiggins is movable unless you're taking back a bunch of money. You're not just freeing up that money. I mean, I've long suggested to Charlotte for Nick Batum. You take back 2 years of Batum. You move 4 years, $120 million of Wiggins. But you're still taking back money. I think Gorgui Dieng has a chance to be a rotational guy. And I'm telling you, when he signed the contract, I actually thought just maybe I was stuck in 2016. But I actually thought it was sort of team friendly. And he was fighting for a lot more money. The deal he eventually signed, 4 years, about $63 million. He was initially asking for close to Steve Adams money, Rudy Gobert money.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Yeah, and then it came down to like 74, 75. They eventually settle on 4 years, 63, 64 million. Oof. Yeah, I mean, I was wrong in that, but I still think he can be a rotational guy. But yeah, with multiple years left, you're not moving Gorgui. I mean, the typical rule, the way front offices look at it is, for each year remaining on the contract, that's worth one first-round pick.
Okay.
So if you wanted to move Gorgui, in all likelihood, you would have to attach two future first-round picks.
That's a lot.
Oof.
Well, I mean, look at the deal the Nets made with the Hawks. Now, they got back Torian Prince, who can be
I like him.
I like Torian Prince.
He's a solid young player.
Yes, but to move Allen Crabbe's money, they gave up 1 year, by the way, of Allen Crabbe's money. They gave up two first-round picks. But typically the rule is, for each year remaining, you attach one future first-round pick.
So it would take four first-round picks to unload Wiggins.
Well, or you're taking back.
Or you're taking back.
If you're taking back Batum, maybe you need to move. I mean, maybe you meet in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's Wiggins and a future protected first, and you bring back Batum.
Same money, but shorter contract.
A chance, if you find the right desperate front office ownership group, that you can move Wiggins straight up for a bad contract.
You know what?
Just less years.
The way Mitch Kupchak and Michael Jordan decided to give Terry Rozier 3 years and $58 million, who's to say they wouldn't take Andrew
Wiggins
on? Them.
Yeah, I would.
I think that that's one of the most logical landing spots now.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think, but does it make sense to move him this year? At this point, if you're already sitting where you're sitting, maybe with the new coaching staff and new player development people that are in, maybe he finds a way to get a little bit better and it becomes a much easier task next offseason.
There's a part of me that wants to see him for a full year under the guidance of Ryan Saunders.
Sure.
And I get it. Ryan, those last 40 games, Wiggins, the final couple weeks was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if you compare Wiggins under Tibbs, those, whatever it was, 40 games or so, then the 40 played under Ryan, comparable, right? I mean, there really wasn't much of an uptick, much of a difference.
He did
Wiggins
some things
under
better.
Tibbs,
he rebounded
Wiggins
better.
Under Ryan. Yeah. But there's still a part of me, maybe it's just my bias and knowing how Ryan thinks. But yeah, there's a part of me that says, you know what? I'd like to see Wiggins for 82 games under Ryan Saunders.
I think, and if it goes well, next summer becomes much easier for you to operate as a franchise. It becomes much easier for you to try and make the splash that you couldn't get done this summer.
And, I mean, really, nobody wants to hear this, but next year's draft is supposed to be really, really good at the top.
Is it?
Yes. This point guard, Greg Anthony's kid, this seven-footer that can do unbelievable stuff, James Wiseman, Sam Mitchell, before he left Memphis, Sam helped recruit James.
Okay.
I mean, he was just gushing. I mean, James Wiseman, if you look at 2020 NBA mock drafts, he's pick one, pick two. There's an Edwards kid. It's supposed to be really, really good about through the lottery. Would it be the worst thing for the Wolves to attempt to acquire that second star by hitting rock bottom this year and landing a top five pick?
And maybe Jarrett Culver.
Come June.
Maybe Jarrett Culver becomes something like that,
sure,
too. You never know.
Absolutely. I'm not going to put any sort of ceiling on Jarrett Culver at this point.
Why would you? All right. Well, they do need warm bodies to fill out the rest of the roster. Who's going to be around? Because they still have plenty of roster spots that they need to fill out. What are we expecting here?
I mean, they've planted a lot of seeds. I mean, I think it starts with Tyus Jones being a restricted free agent.
What's the latest there?
They haven't offered him a contract, nor do I expect. Now, it's fluid. A lot can change. Snap of the fingers.
Sure.
But right now, there is no sense that the Wolves are going to offer Tyus Jones a long-term deal. So I guess I would not be surprised if Tyus decides to sign the qualifying offer.
Okay.
Which would then allow him to be an unrestricted free agent 1 year from now.
Yes.
And if you look at the free agent class a year from now, it's not that great. Mm-hmm. I don't have every name at the point guard position, but being an unrestricted free agent next summer has some appeal to Tyus's camp. So I guess I see Tyus back at this point. Now, his former agent is Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
If the Lakers don't end up with Kawhi Leonard, with Rob, who loves Tyus, I mean, he was here for Tyus's draft party. Rob thinks the world of Tyus. Would the Lakers extend an offer sheet? I guess maybe. That would be maybe the one team to keep an eye on at this point. Corey Joseph went to Sacramento, right? Mm-hmm. I know the Kings had some interest in Tyus. And Washington got a
Isaiah
guard,
Thomas.
Right?
And Ish Smith.
Well, Isaiah went to Washington, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And Chicago got, though, the guy from Washington. I guess that's what I was getting
Thomas
at.
Bryant. Oh. Yeah.
No, Sedorinsky, right? Is that how it says
it? Thomas Sedorinsky.
Yeah, so they gave him 3 years, 30. I know Chicago had some interest in Tyus. So cross Chicago off the board.
Sure.
Cross Sacramento off the board, signing Corey Joseph to the money they gave him. So at this point, I guess I would bet on Tyus being back. Just don't be surprised if he ends up signing the qualifying offer, then chooses unrestricted free agency a year from now. I mean, they've planted seeds on guys like Trey Lyles. They met with Bill Duffy, who his agency represents Tyus.
Yeah.
So Bill Duffy's also got Kelly Oubre, but I checked on that this morning. There's no real Wolves steam there. I mean, it's more just, hey, you know, what are you thinking? I mean, TJ McConnell's another name, but they're not the front runner for TJ McConnell. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys still available.
Trey Lyles was a buddy of Cat's, I guess. College teammate at Kentucky.
Restricted free agent, though, right?
Is he restricted?
Is he? I think he is, isn't he?
Might be, yeah.
And then I don't even know what Denver's cap situation is. Would Denver match? Is Trey Lyles even worth the mid-level? That seems
probably
pretty
not.
High. So I don't know. I mean, they'll fill it. No real interest at this point in re-signing Luol Deng, but that could change. But right now, no. I would have loved to have seen them bring back Anthony Tolliver.
Yeah.
Leadership, shooting, I get it. The defense, fine. He's got warts, but he can make threes, and he really likes it here. And Ryan likes him, but the Wolves were never in the mix. Never.
Interesting.
He had a bunch of teams early. Portland came on a little late. He ends up signing in Portland.
I like that move a lot for the Blazers. I really think it's a solid move for Portland.
I like it. Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, Harkless is gone. Evan Turner is gone. I mean, guys that can play.
Yeah.
You know, the three Aminu's gone. Aminu's gone, right? So, you know, can't you picture him eating up some of those Aminu minutes? Some
He's
of those Aminu,
get a lot
not
of
all,
threes.
But some. So, yeah, I really like Portland for Tolliver. But, yeah, just make no mistake, the Wolves were not in on bringing back Tolliver. They were not in on bringing back Taj. There was no interest. I mean, maybe there was some internal, but they certainly didn't
express it.
They did not verbalize it to the Taj camp. And really on Rose, I mean, some, but not really.
Not 2 years, $15 million worth of interest.
Yeah, so I mean, you think about all the guys that are leaving. Now, they brought in Graham. They brought in Napier.
Are those guys going to be around? I know their contracts are.
I think there's
a
chance. I mean,
they can be
waived
July 10th.
Yeah, the optics are not good, right? The optics of being involved in the D'Angelo Russell trade.
Just not the good part.
But really, frankly, Graham and Napier on those contracts are good moves.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking starters, but those guys for less than $2 million, plus you can play with those contracts for the next handful of days. What did you say, July 10th
July
or 12th?
10th. Okay, July 10th so is their guaranteed
I think
dates.
They're going, in fact, I'm positive, they're going to shop and see what's out there and would include either guy. But I know they indicated, at least to the Graham side, that, hey, we like you, and you absolutely could be here.
interesting. It'll be an interesting rest of the summer to see what the Wolves can come up with in terms of their roster. And summer league starts next week or later this week. I know I'm excited for it. Can't wait to see what Jarrett Culver can do and Jalen Noel.
Did you tell me you wanted Boogie Cousins here?
I do not want Boogie Cousins here.
Could you imagine Ryan Saunders being tasked with having to coach Boogie Cousins? Oh. I keep being asked about Boogie. They're not putting Ryan in that position.
No, it's unfair to the team to do that.
Yes.
But. It's just not a fit. It just doesn't make sense on the court either.
Doogie, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, boys.
You can check out Doogie on the Scoop podcast. You can find that on Score North, right where you find this on the all-new Score North mobile app, available on Apple or Android. This has been Raised by Wolves. Purple Daily is next.